Okay, I'm supposed to tell you all to go ahead and turn on your candles, and I guess you turn them. Somebody knows that, okay. That way you can see the words. But before we get going, let's go ahead and just pray and give this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come together and that we got here safely and we can just come before you and sing your praises and learn of your word, learn of you, and rejoice that you gave us your Son as a perfect gift, a perfect sacrifice for us, Lord. And just pray that our hearts would let go of the worries and the stresses of this season tonight, Lord, and just focus on you, Lord, and that our hearts would be changed tonight. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a couple things before we begin worshiping on this first song. Due to a technical error, the worship team has different third verse than you guys have. So we're not going to sing the third verse of O Come, Emmanuel. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. And this is one of my favorite songs at this time of year, working up to Christmas. And I've really thought about it a lot this year. It's really just hit home for me that, you know, you had Adam and Eve in the garden with God. God was walking amongst them, and then God had to separate himself because of their sin. And then later on with the Jews going through the wilderness we've been reading about in the Old Testament, and, you know, at that point where he had to say Ichabod, God's departed, and he had to walk away again. So they're separated from God. But then he said, I'm going to give you a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Not a God away from us, but God with us. And then Jesus said to his disciples, what? I will never leave you or forsake you. And what a precious promise that is to them and to all believers. So that's what the Jews were anticipating coming up to the birth of Jesus, was Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, was going to come and walk and dwell among them once again.
Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here. Until the Son of God appear, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, and depths of hell thy people save. Them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high. And close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
And Father, we are so thankful that we can even come before you. Such a precious time of year, Lord. So precious. And we want only to devote this time to you, Lord. We want to make you significant in our lives. We want you to be the utmost in every one of our lives. You sent your Son, born in a manger, the Savior to the world, that all those who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You kept your promise. You keep all of your promises. And for that, we'd want to adore you. We want to give ourselves all to you. We want to surrender all to you. And by your Holy Spirit, we will continue to do so. And we say this in your holy name. Amen. So nice to see everybody here tonight. How's everybody doing on this Christmas Eve? Everybody doing great? That's so good. Had quite the ice storm these last few days, but the Lord blessed us, sent us the rains, washed all that ice away, and it's just so nice to see all your faces here tonight. So very thankful for you guys to come out here tonight. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is by far one of the most popular and prophetic verses ascribing the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. We see this verse everywhere during Christmas time. You see it on Christmas cards. You see it on church billboards. It's one of the most popular verses during this time of year. However, what do we know about this verse, other than the verse itself, other than that we know it's a prophecy? Let's take a look into where this verse is inserted in God's holy word. Let's take a look at who it was said to. Let's take a look at, who said it, who it was said to, and the state of the nation in which it was said. So who said it? Isaiah. By far one of the most prolific prophets in all of Israel, who prophesied over a span of four different kings. Isaiah is respected by both Jews and Christians alike. He wrote the largest book in the Bible in whom a major prophet wrote, 66 chapters, often divided into, likened to the 39 books in the Old Testament and the 27 in the New. He had his hand on the quill for a long time. These 66 chapters hold some of the most prevalent passages and verses prophesying, all in Isaiah's day, in a future day concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, and many, many prophecies concerning the millennial reign, still which is to come. He began his prophetic life by announcing, "O Lord, I am a man of unclean lips." And his life ended, most believe, by being sawn in half by the evil king Manasseh. Isaiah had much to say then, as much as he has to say now. The Holy Spirit continually speaks to us through his written word, penned by obedient prophets. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Whom was Isaiah speaking to when he announced this peculiar yet exact prophecy? Isaiah was speaking to a very evil king in Judah by the name of King Ahaz. The Bible tells us King Ahaz was extremely wicked, that he committed all kinds of abominations, some of which were he led the people of the nation of Judah into idolatry. He sacrificed his children to pagan gods, therefore leading the rest of the flock in Judah to do so also. He defiled the holy temple in countless ways. He, King Ahaz, as a king and leader, led Judah, God's people, into a state of evil and wickedness. This is who the prophet Isaiah was speaking to when he said, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Why did Isaiah say this to King Ahaz, you may ask? What was the state of the nation under King Ahaz's rule? Because the king had fallen into such great wickedness, God did what he always does. He judged them. But keep in mind, God is very, very patient and very long-suffering. But yes, God does eventually send judgment. So God brought down upon King Ahaz two different armies to judge him and humble him. And while it were these two main armies in Syria and Samaria, or Ephraim, the northern 10 tribes of Israel, and Syria were being used by God to judge the lower half, Judah, which was ran by King Ahaz, while it were indeed these two main armies that God sent, also included with these two armies were mobs like the Edomites and the Philistines, which were perennial enemies to Judah and Israel, as some of you probably already know. But not only was this a judgment then, not only was this a judgment to come, but it was a test now for King Ahaz. And this is where it gets personal. And this is where I would every one of you here to think of this personally. It's a test now. God was giving King Ahaz much room with his patience, with his long suffering, to humble himself, to repent to God, and to put his trust in him. That's key, to put his trust in his God. He was waiting for King Ahaz to break, much like a horse must be broken, to soften his heart towards God instead of hardening it. Now the story widens a bit. It's not just these two armies. It's not just these mobs. Besides this, there was also another army, great army, a mighty army that was wild and on the loose and traveling the earth, conquering everyone in whom it came into contact with. This mighty army had zero loyalty to the two armies that that God was using to judge King Ahaz and Judah. Remember, this army was so strong that no one could even come close to defeating it. King Ahaz had a choice. You have a choice. We all have a choice, do we not? He could either put his trust in God, or he could put his trust in man. King Ahaz could either put his trust in this third army, asking it, beckoning it to defend him against these two other armies that God was using in Syria and Samaria. He wanted to beckon their help to come defend him because they were so mighty and so ruthless. King Ahaz had the inclination, the intention to put his trust in horses and chariots, to put his trust in man instead of his God. He had the choice. He could either listen to the prophet Isaiah, the true prophet Isaiah, and trust in his God, or he could listen to his own wicked heart and put his trust in man. So before we conclude what King Ahaz's choice is in the matter, let's read the entire Emmanuel prophecy in its entirety given by Isaiah. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." So what the prophet Isaiah is telling the king is, look, there's no bounds here. There's no limits. Ask anything. Ask for any sign. Then he said, but Ahaz said, "I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." False humility, maybe. Was he shaking in his boots toward the real God? Maybe. Then he, the prophet Isaiah, said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings, not only Judah, but Ephraim or Samaria." And here's the kicker. "The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house." The prophet's telling him everything that's going to happen. Everything. There's no wonder here. King Ahaz had everything in front of him. Just like every single one of you do. Everything is in front of you. It's all there. There's nothing that we have to wonder about. There's no questions. It's all in front of us. King Ahaz had it all in front of him. He had a true prophet of God in Isaiah, imploring the king to seek God and to not seek the mighty army to defend him. He already told him in verse 17, "The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house." And he gave him a nearer prophecy, again, telling the king that all the land of Israel, all of it, not only his, but Samaria's also, is going to be forsaken by Assyria. The prophet Isaiah is indeed telling King Ahaz to put your trust in God, for only he can save you and defend you from death. And isn't that what he's telling all of us? Put your trust in Jesus, for he is the only one that can save you. He is the only one that can defend you from death. Now let's see which choice Ahaz made. Did he listen to the prophet? Did he listen to the word of God? Did he ultimately put his trust in the prophecy that God would send Emmanuel, meaning God with us, born of a virgin to save sinners? I'm going to give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. 2 Chronicles 28:16 says this: "At the same time, King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria to help him." There you have it. "For again, the Edomites had come, attacked Judah, and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the lowland and of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, Soko and its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. Also, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, that third army that was mighty and loose and wild, whom nobody could conquer. Also, the king of Assyria came to him and distressed him and did not assist him. For Ahaz took part of the treasures from the house of the Lord, from the house of the king, and from the leaders. And he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he did not help him." He did not help him, church. Assyria did not come and help Ahaz. Now, in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. "This is that King Ahaz, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, 'Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me.' What a foolish man to have God in front of him, to have the prophet Isaiah in front of him, and still trust in his own devices. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to the other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers." Mind you, the same God that was so patient with him, so long-suffering with him, waiting and waiting and waiting. Just like he does with every single one of us. He's so patient, you guys. "Speaking of Ahaz, now the rest of his acts and all his ways from first to last, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem, but they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. Then Hezekiah his son reigned in his place." Thank God for King Hezekiah. So despite everything Ahaz had in front of him, in the end, he decided to rely on the world instead of God. And notice what God's words tells us. This is very important, because this is what you see going on around you in the world today. Listen to this. Verse 22 said, "Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz." And do we not see that going on in the world around us? You see, what King Ahaz did, he became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord while he was being distressed. He ran away from God during this time instead of running to him. It's so important, church, so important that whatever distress you may be going through in life, whatever it may be, and I'm not going to try to sit up here and count them off, whatever distress that you may be going through, always remember, to run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. It's a fool's errand to run away from Him. A fool's errand. Don't be the fool. As the world increases in wickedness, do we not see the doubling down of evil among us? We are witnessing in this very generation what Paul wrote us that says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." Exactly what King Ahaz suffered from. Because he refused to submit to the God that created him and was willing to save him. Now, Isaiah 7 is just one of the many prophecies prophesying our Savior's birth. And that prophecy did indeed come to fruition 2,000 plus years ago. Understand this, church, how important this is. God kept His promise. God kept His promise to send a Savior to the world to save all of mankind. This Savior that we know, Jesus, and I hope that all of you here know Him intimately, He's perfect and He's true. And He was sent here to save the world. Why? Because God loves us. Because God loves all of us, His image bearers. So you have it all in front of you. Every one of you. Just like King Ahaz did, you also have it in front of you. Are you going to listen to the prophet? Are you going to listen to God's prophet? Are you going to listen? Hearken. Hearken to. The King James uses the word hearken. I love that word. To draw in, to draw close. It doesn't just mean to hear. It doesn't just mean to listen. But it means to draw in and become intimate with it so that it's substantial in your life. Are you going to hearken to God's holy word? Please don't let there be a famine of hearing God's word in your life. Church, those of you that are here today, are you going to make the deliberate decision to not put your trust in horses and chariots? Are you going to make the deliberate decision to not put your trust in man? To not put your trust in establishments? To not put your trust in tradition? To not put your trust in government? Or the Red Party? Are you going to make the deliberate decision to not put your trust in finances and investments? The list goes on and on, you guys. And trust me, the world is full of all kinds of mediums that you can put your trust in. All kinds of them. But I want you all to know they're all done in vain. Every single one of them are done in vain. Don't put your trust in vain people and vain things that are all going to wither up and burn away. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Jesus was born. Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was born just like God said He would be. Jesus died on that old rugged cross to save sinners, to pay for sin, just like God said He would. Jesus also rose on the third day, defeating death. Just like God said He would. And guess what? Jesus is going to come back and He's going to take His children home. Sometime in the very near future, mind you. Just like God said He will. You can become His child. You can become His child. Because the Bible tells you right now that if you do not belong to Him, you are indeed and in fact an enemy to Him. But He wants you to become His child, and you can do that by repenting. Acknowledging that God is indeed the God that created you. You are made in His image. And that everything he calls evil is actually evil, and everything that he calls good is good. You must come to a point. You must come to an understanding in your own soul that you have to agree with God in what he says in his holy word. And you have to repent of yourself, of your wicked self. All those times, all of your natural self that rebels against him. And he is faithful and just to forgive you if you will humbly bow the knee to him. And he will cause you to be born again. And your name will be written in the book of life. That's a promise from him. It will be written in the book of life. And you can count on an eternity with him. And until that day, he will sanctify you by the Holy Spirit. You will have new desires. You will want to know him better. You will want to know him more. Our God is so wonderful. He will wrap you up with like-minded believers, those to help you on your way, on this spiritual journey that he will give you. A good church with good teaching and good fellowship. He will give you that if you seek it. And I pray that everyone here, I pray that everyone here does have their name written in the book of life. And if there is anyone here that doesn't, please come and talk to me. Nothing matters more than your eternity. Because all that other stuff, all this stuff in this planet, on this earth, all this stuff that we think is so important now is all going to get burned up. Because if you do this, then you can take part in this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Think about that. There will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Praise Jesus that he came, that he was obedient to the Father, and he came born of a virgin, the very thing that we celebrate this time of year, and tomorrow especially. And my encouragement to all of you out there as families, we are set apart, are we not? We are set apart. So let's make this time all about Jesus. Let's make it all about him and worship him the way that he should be worshiped. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your son, that he came as a baby, born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes, so miraculously. And yes, Lord, the enemy of our soul, Satan himself, has tried every single way to get through and never has, because you are true and you are perfect. We love you so much. Amen. Now, as is custom, whoop, that ain't it. Uh-oh. No, it ain't. Microphone. Oh, you're right, Dan. Yeah, I know what my wife's thinking right now. As is custom, I would like to pass the mic around to anyone who has any praises, anything that they want to say to the fellowship, to the body, just praising Jesus, praising anything for this time of year. Who's going to go first? Once we get the ball rolling, there we go. Give it to us, John.
Yeah. Well, I'm sitting in the back row, so I must be a good Baptist. And indeed I was, and I still am, in a sense. but I'm a little bit more than that. I got into the Messianic Jewish Fellowship for a while. I learned a few things. There's a thing called Hanukkah. And if, I think I've discussed it with some of you already, and Cindy was telling me that she found it on the TV, I guess it was. Wasn't it, Cindy?
It was on the computer.
Oh, on a computer. I hate computers with a... but anyway, what happened at Hanukkah time, you heard of the Maccabees. Antiochus Epiphanes IV wanted them to dissolve themselves, leave this Judah thing behind, and call themselves, in a sense, Greek. Therefore, Judah wouldn't have been if they took him up on it. But they didn't take him up on it. They kicked him out bodily, and it remained Judah. The thing I'm trying to say is that God has a plan, and that plan will be executed regardless of what happens down on this earth in communist nations or anything else. They have nothing to say about what God says is going to happen, because it did happen. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, just as his plan said it would be. And that is how his plan is continuing to be. And I just praise him forever for the promise that I am going to be in his kingdom forever. I am now. And I say just plain hallelujah. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
I just want to praise God for doing a miracle that he does. He's been doing for the last 14 years and keeping me humbled by my wife, because the one thing that I constantly fail at is to love her as Christ loved the church. And so her still being with me is an obvious miracle. And I just I thank everyone for coming here tonight, and this is really special, and to be here and partake in this fellowship, and just to see all these friendly faces here is a blessing.
Judah, did you have something you wanted to say?
Did you want
to
say something?
How about Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Pudgy.
No.
Oh, boy. All right. We knew we could count on you, Winston.
You've been trying.
Yeah, I'm crying.
Yeah, that's a little difficult for me. My emotions are hard to control. 17 years ago... my wife passed away. Before she died, we couldn't go anywhere because she wasn't able to. And TV became our church. And one day we were going through the channels and I came across a preacher that preached righteousness, happened to be a preacher of Calvary Church of Port Orchard. And my wife died the end of August, and probably the first Sunday in September, I found this church. And there wasn't a church building or anything I found. I've never been so blessed. in my life is going through the Bible. We do it here, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And the Old Testament and New Testament are equally important, and we get them both. If you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you listen to Pastor Kevin, Pastor Dustin, and they lead you in the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." And the Father happens to live in heaven. And if that's your goal, come listen and listen and learn.
Thanks, Winston. Anybody else? No hands. Okay. Okay.
So while the worship team comes up, if you guys would come up, I'd like to say something. I'll keep it short. As Spencer said, it is so wonderful. It's intriguing even to be fellowshipping with all of you at such a special time of the year as this. A time of the season dedicated to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A time dedicated to Him. And it's so wonderful to come together, the saints of the church. I don't know about you guys, but I honestly daydream about we're going to spend eternity with one another. Think about it. We're going to be in heaven with one another. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be so cool. Words cannot describe. Words just can't describe. And I was talking with Pastor Kevin before service started tonight. About how much we love this time of year and the saints coming together. Don't really like all the prep work, but it does look nice in here though, doesn't it? Thanks, Robert. But just all of us coming together and just pure hearts, just a devotion, a spiritual devotion that each one of us have unto our Lord and unto each other, you guys. And it's just, words just don't describe this time. All right? But here's the kicker. We're going to end here tonight. And then tomorrow's going to be Christmas. And if anybody doesn't have a service to go to, come here at 10 a.m. We are having our Christmas service tomorrow. But then we're going to go home and we're going to have Christmas with our families. And it's going to be like you normally do every Christmas and what you normally do every year for your families and all of that. And then we're going to head off into the new year, you guys. That's what's going to happen. My prayer is that each one of you would get your hearts set up now. Get your hearts right. Get your hearts prepared for the year that's to come. Yes, of course, we're hoping that Jesus comes and takes His church home this year. Amen. But He may not. So let's prepare our hearts for the upcoming year. Fellowship all the more. All the more. Devoting our lives to Him all the more. Reading His Word, diving into it, swimming in it, drinking it, eating it, all the more. Because we want to be found faithful, amen? We want to glorify Him, is what we want to do. Let's sing these next three songs.
Only strive for His bed, and no crown of jewels for His head. Just a barn for His home, and a manger will his only throne. Though it may be just a stable with animals and hay, though no kingly palace will be his. Though it may be dark and dirty, and though it may be cold, the most beautiful place is where he is. Anywhere he is. So the cattle and the sheep are the company this king will keep. But the beauty of his face will bring light and glory to this place. Though it may be just a stable with animals and hay, though no kingly palace will be his. Though it may be dark and dirty, and though it may be cold, the most beautiful place is where he is. Anywhere he is. When one day we'll go home, we will see him on his heavenly throne. We'll all bow in his grace and worship him as king in his true place. He was born in just a stable with animals and hay, then no kingly palace would be his. Now he dwells in power and glory, and we will dwell with him. The most beautiful place is where he is. Anywhere he is. He was born in just a stable with animals and hay, then no kingly palace would be his. Now he dwells in power and glory, and we will dwell with him. The most beautiful place is where he is. Anywhere he is. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leaning onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to Thee. As with joyful steps they sped to that lowly manger bed, there to bend the knee before him whom heaven and earth adore. So may we with willing feet ever seek the mercy seat. As they offered gifts most rare at that manger rude and bare, so may we with holy joy, pure and free from sins alloyed, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to Thee, our heavenly King. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way.
things are past. Bring our ransomed souls at last, where they need no star to guide, where no clouds thy glory hide. In the heavenly country bright, need they no created light. Thou its light, its joy, its crown, Thou its sun which goes not down. There forever may we sing Alleluias to our King.
Why don't we go ahead and stand for this last song?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender.
God has a program, and His name's Jesus, and He's here for you. He's waiting for you. So I just pray that you would all pour your life into Him tonight, tomorrow, until He comes and takes you home, or until you go and meet Him. Pour yourself into Him. That's my hope in every single one of us, because nothing else matters, saints. Nothing else matters but the risen King. And that's what we got to look forward to. If all of you would just come and simply turn off your candles and just lay them right here on the stage. And we'll pick them up later. Otherwise, there are some cookies and stuff out there. We invite you to hang around in fellowship and eat the cookies and hang out. And I pray that you guys all have a great day tomorrow for Christmas, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.